to see a play, which was at the Theatre Royal in Nottingham that week. He asked Clara to come with him. He took his evening clothes in a suitcase and changed at Jordan's after work. At the theatre, Clara took off her coat, and he discovered she was in a sort of green evening dress that left her arms and neck and part of her breast bare. He could almost feel the firmness and softness of her body as he looked at her. He sat all the evening beside her beautiful bare arm, watching the strong throat, the breasts under the green stuff, the curve of her body in the tight dress. He somehow hated her because she made him suffer the ache of her nearness. When the lights went down, she sank against him, and he stroked her hand and arm with his fingers. The play continued, but it seemed like a dream far away from him. The reality was Clara, the white, heavy arms, the throat, her chest rising and falling. When all was over, the lights up, the people clapping, he came to himself. He helped her on with her coat. "I love you. You look beautiful in that dress," he whispered over her shoulder among the crowd of people. It seemed to him that he met a pair of brown eyes full of hate as they made their way out of the theatre, but he did not know whose eyes they were. He and Clara turned away and walked towards the station. Two or three evenings later, Paul was drinking in the Punch Bowl pub with some of his friends when Baxter Dawes came in. He looked much thinner and seemed to be on a downhill path. His woman, Louis, had left him, and he had recently spent a night in jail for fighting. Paul and he were enemies, but as fellow workers, there was a familiarity between them. Paul often thought about Dawes and wanted to know him better. This evening, he offered Dawes a drink. Dawes refused with a curse and went on making insulting references to Paul's friendship with Clara. Paul tried to pay no attention, but one final remark caused him to throw half a glass of beer in Dawes's face. There was nearly an ugly fight, but the quick-thinking barman led Dawes to the door and forced him to leave the pub. Paul told Clara jokingly of the quarrel with her husband. The colour rose in her face. Her grey eyes glowed with anger. She advised Paul to carry a gun because, she said, Dawes was dangerous. Paul laughed at the idea, but in fact, a violent quarrel at the factory a few days later led Dawes to attack Mr. Jordan and ended with Dawes losing his job. Clara was indeed passionately in love with Paul, and he with her, as far as passion went. One evening, they were walking down by the river, and his mind was somewhere else. Clara listened to him whistling a sad, dissatisfied tune. She walked on in silence. When they came to a bridge, he sat down looking at the stars in the water. She sat beside him. "Will you always stay at Jordan's?" she asked. "No. I shall leave Nottingham soon and go abroad."
"Go abroad? What for?"
"I don't know. I feel restless. I shall not go for long, while my mother's there."
"And if you made a nice lot of money, what would you do?"
she asked.
"Live in a pretty house near London with my mother."
"I see." There was a long pause. "Don't ask me anything about the future," he said gloomily. "I don't know anything. Just be with me now." She caught him passionately to her, pressing his head down on her breast. She could not mistake the suffering in his voice. And soon the struggle within him died away, and he forgot Clara was there anymore. Only a woman, warm and passionate there in the dark. and she gave herself to him. She knew how alone he was. When Paul came to his senses, he realized he was lying on the grass. The warmth he felt was Clara's breathing. What was she? A strong, strange, wild life, breathing with him in the darkness. After such an evening, they were both very still, having known the enormous power of passion. But Clara was not satisfied. He might leave her. She had not got him. For Paul, the fire of love slowly died away. He felt more and more that his experience had been impersonal, and not with Clara. He felt a great tenderness for her, but it was not she who could keep his soul steady. He had wanted her to be something she could not be. Once, when they were by themselves, he asked her, "Do you ever want to marry me?" "Do you want to marry me?" she replied. "Yes, I should like us to have children," he answered slowly. "But you don't really want a divorce from Baxter, do you?" It was some minutes before she replied. "No," she said. "I don't think I do." Gradually, their lovemaking became more mechanical, without the wonderful high points of that first time. One night, he left her to go to the railway station over the fields. He did not have much time, and it was very dark. He was going through a gate when he saw a dark figure leaning beside it. "Paul Morell," said the man. He knew it was Dawes. "I've got you, haven't I?" said Dawes. "I missed my train," said Paul. "All right then," answered Dawes. And suddenly the younger man was knocked backwards by a blow across the face. The whole night went black. Then he began to see Dawes more clearly and hit him above the mouth. Suddenly, from nowhere, came a great blow behind the ear. He heard Dawes's heavy breathing, like a wild animal's. He hung on to the bigger man like a wild cat, till at last Dawes fell with a crash, and Paul went down with him. His hands pressed the other man's throat in a blind need to kill him. Then he was thrown to one side. He felt his enemy kicking him as he lay on his back, helpless. Then he lost consciousness. Paul woke gradually. He knew where he was and what had happened, but he did not want to move. At last, his willpower forced him to get up. He was sick with pain, but his brain was clear. He found a pool of water and washed his bloody face and hands. The icy water stung, but woke him fully. All he wanted was to get to his mother. On foot, as in a terrible dream, he made the journey home. Everybody was in bed. His face was raw and badly marked, almost like a dead man's face. The night was a long, bad dream. In the morning, he woke to find his mother looking at him. Her blue eyes, they were all he wanted to see. She was there. He was in her hands. "It's not much, Mother," he said. "It was Baxter Dawes." He had a displaced shoulder, and the second day, his breathing also became very difficult. His mother was as pale as death and very thin. She sat and looked at him, then looked away into space. Clara came to see him. Then Miriam came. "You know, I don't care about them, Mother," he said. "I'm afraid you don't, my son," she replied sadly. People were told it was a bicycle accident, and soon he was back at work again.